Do you want to leave too? If you leave, who will you go to? And if you leave, what will you be leaving behind? Something we try as a church here is to be honest and realistic. And this walk of faith is not easy. And the Bible doesn't claim to make it easy. And in the passage that we're going to be reading today, we're going to find people giving up the faith because it's not easy. We're going to be in John chapter 6 today. As you know, we're going through this book of John systematically. One of the advantages of going through a book like this is that you have to talk about the good bits and the difficult bits, the easy bits and the harder bits. So just to recap before we get into our chapter today, to set the scene, remember Jesus feeds over 5,000 people with just 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Then Jesus walks on water, and the people get a bit confused because they don't understand how he got to where he is and he's not where he was and so on. And so they look for him on the other side of the lake. And when they find him, they ask him, "Oh, how did you get here?" And Jesus answers by saying to them, "You're looking for me because you had a free lunch, isn't it? You're looking for me because you had a free lunch." And he goes on to warn them. He says, "Do not work for food that goes off, but work for food that lasts forever." And then they ask him, "So what must we do to do the works that God requires?" And Jesus answers them, "The work of God is to believe in the one he has sent." Human nature often dictates that we want to do something. We want to make something. We want to build something. We want to feel that with our own sweat and effort we've produced something. Or maybe we can dip our hands in our pockets and pay for something. But Jesus is saying, first and foremost, the work of God is to believe in the one he has sent. And they're kind of trying to dodge around this issue of believing. So they then say to him, "So what sign then will you give? Because if you give us a sign that we could see, then maybe we could believe. For example, Jesus, our ancestors, remember they ate the manna in the desert." You remember manna was the bread that came down from heaven. And they even quoted scripture to Jesus. They said, "It's written in the Bible, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." They're thinking he refers to Moses. But Jesus then says, No. "It's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread that comes down from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And as Jesus is talking about bread coming down from heaven, the people misunderstand what he's talking about. They think he's talking about physical bread. And so, rather like Nicodemus, remember Nicodemus when Jesus talks about born again and he thinks about a physical rebirth, getting into the mother's womb again, misunderstands that. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, Jesus talks about living water. She thinks he's talking about water that you stick in a bucket. Just as these two misunderstood what Jesus was talking about, now the people are misunderstanding his reference to bread. They assume that he's talking about physical bread, and they say to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Surely they're thinking it'll save us a lot of money. We won't have to keep going up to Sainsbury's to the bread aisle to get our bread from Charlie's department. And this is where we pick up the narrative today in John chapter 6, verse 35. But before we dig into the text, I want to give you four things to look out for as we're in the text. In our reading this morning, we're going to see the first of seven of Jesus' statements about himself, which begin with the word, I am. Some of you are aware, yeah, in the introduction we did some time ago, and it's on the website if you want to look at it, the slideshow, we mentioned that seven times in this Gospel of John, Jesus says about himself, I am, and goes on to say about himself. And today, the first one, I am the bread of life. Secondly, you'll notice lots of grumbling going on. You might ask, what's changed in the church over the last 2,000 years? There was lots of grumbling going on then, and I'm sure there's grumbling now. Third thing you'll notice, Jesus twice makes a statement, no one comes to me unless the Father is involved in the process. The wording is slightly different on both occasions, but no one comes to me unless the Father, we'll look at that in a moment. And then we end this wonderful reading with two questions and a declaration. So I hope by giving you, if you like, the points before we get in, it'll help you as we read through. You're kind of picking them up as we go. So let's have a read, starting at verse 35. Jesus declared, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. And at this, the Jews there began to grumble. They grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Isn't this the Jesus that grew up amongst us? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? So Jesus replied, stop grumbling amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Now, your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Now, this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Jesus then said, "For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors, they ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said this whilst teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And now we get to verse 60. On hearing it, many of Jesus' disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And Jesus, aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? You see, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. And he went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. So Jesus asked the 12, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." And then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" He meant, of course, Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. Do you want to leave too? That's the question we have on the board. Who will you go to? What will you be leaving behind? Let's take a closer look at some of the words that we've got this morning. Verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And as I've already mentioned, this word, "I am," it echoes the response that God gave to Moses in the desert. When Moses is saying, "It's all right, it's all very well, God, me going to the Israelites and going to Pharaoh, but people are going to ask me, on whose authority are you doing all this stuff, and who shall I say sent me?" And God says to Moses, "I am who I am. If anyone asks you, just say, 'I am has sent me.'" A very powerful name for God, "I am." We say, of course, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is forever." our God, I am. So when Jesus uses this phrase about himself, I am, and then says the bread of life, he's going to get a reaction. And of course he does. In verse 41 we read, at this the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Didn't he go to the same school as us when we were kids? Didn't he go to the youth club with us when we were kids? Didn't we live in the same cul-de-sac when we were kids? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? And in verse 43, we get the second reference to grumbling when Jesus says, stop grumbling amongst yourselves. And Jesus goes on to say, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And we get back to one of the key themes of this book that we keep talking about. Jesus. Jesus is God. He's 100% God, but he won't do anything on his own. Everything he does together with the Father and on the authority of the Father. And if Jesus is saying to us this morning, guys, Great Holland's Free Church, I don't try to do anything on my own, how much more he must be saying to us, don't try to do it on your own. You see, we want to do evangelistic things, and I'm so glad we've got the party coming up and the barn dance and the lunch clubs. And these are wonderful things. I think we've got to do things like this. We've got to do things that demonstrate to our community and our world that we are here for you. But let's be humble too and say, the Word of God makes it clear, no one comes to me, says Jesus, unless the Father draws them. Let's be praying and saying, God, would you draw people to yourself? And God, would you sort of kind of give us the privilege of being involved in that work too? And when Jesus uses the parable of the sower, you remember the sower, which represents the Word of God, the gospel message, we're told that the sower sows everywhere and indiscriminately. And that's why I'm inviting anyone who wants to come to our lunch club. Come along. Anyone can come to our barn dance. Anyone can come to the kids club. We don't know who God is drawing. We don't know who or where or when or why. But the Word of God says, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And then in verse 51, Jesus goes on and says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And then the Jews began, this time not to grumble, but to argue sharply amongst themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. My flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. And looking around the church this morning, there were two people I had in mind when I was preparing this. One's, I think, a vegetarian and one's a vegan. And any talk about meat and blood is horrible to them. But actually, isn't it pretty troubling for all of us, this idea of eating the flesh of God, eating meat, drinking blood? And so I thought, you know, I ought to just clarify this. Supposing Jesus was talking about eating his physical body. Well, I've just thought this through and said, look, let's just be absolutely 100% clear on this. He's not talking about that. And we can prove that from history because the Bible says that Jesus, when he was crucified, they took his body down from the cross. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus together, they took the body and they buried the body. It does not say in the Bible that they sat down and ate the body of Jesus. They buried the body. And on the third day, Jesus appeared to his disciples in his resurrection body. So let's be very clear. There is no sense at all that we are talking about eating the physical body of Jesus. But in verse 57 it says, "The one who feeds on me will live because of me." My friend who is a vegan talks to me about food being fuel. Talks about fuel and talks about nutrition. And of course, that's what food is. It is the fuel. It is the nutrition. It's that which gives us life. And Jesus is saying here, the nutrition for your inner man and for the eternal, what you're going to need forever, you've got to feed on me. And of course, we're celebrating. It just so happens that this chapter comes on the day when, because we do this about once every 4 weeks, we're doing the communion, the bread and wine. So it actually fits in really nicely together, the bread and the wine. And of course, Jesus uses the bread and the wine as a reminder, as a picture for us of his death and his resurrection. Look at verse 58, please, if you want to. Jesus says, "Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Now, the Israelites were in Egypt, in the desert, for about 40 years. So they were eating manna probably for 40 years. So that was quite a long time. You think of it, this manna came down in the morning, little kind of flakes. And they could make it in different ways. So just like some of you guys, parents are good at tricking your kids into eating things they don't like or whatever. You know, they've got inventive how they could make it a bit more tasty or whatever. 40 years is a long time, but it was a temporary food. It was a long-term temporary food, 40 years, but it was temporary. Look what Jesus says here. "Your ancestors, they ate the manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread that I give will live forever." Manna was a long-term, 40-year temporary food, but Jesus is offering us a food for eternity. And then in verse 66, we read, "On hearing it, many of his disciples said, 'This is a hard teaching, who can accept it?'" And let me say that most people who come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they have a moment of joy when they first embrace God and they know that they are forgiven, they know that they are loved. And then the reality hits that actually a lot of this teaching in the Bible is hard. And for most of us, there comes the question at some point after our conversion, "This is a hard teaching, who can accept it?" And indeed, the question has to come closer to home. This is a hard teaching. Can I accept it? Will I accept it? And Jesus, verse 61, this is the third reference to grumbling in our chapter, or in our passage today, 61, aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you?" What's interesting is that at the beginning, it's the Jewish people, the Jews. Now, obviously, the disciples are Jews as well, but when it refers to the Jews, I think that refers to, in a sense, those who are hostile towards Jesus and to the gospel. To begin with, it's those who are hostile to the gospel who are grumbling. But now, in verse 60, we see that those who are Jesus' disciples, his friends, they are grumbling. And Jesus says to them, "Does this offend you. And he goes on to say in verse 65, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. The words that you see, point number 3 on the screen. Just flick back to verse 44. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And now, similarly, no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. We've got to be praying for ourselves, and we've got to be praying for each other, and we've got to be praying for our community. God, will you enable people to come to you? Will you draw them? Because this is not an easy teaching. And people are not going to accept this teaching, and they're not going to hold on and hang on to faith unless God the Father is at work, drawing them, enabling them. And then verse 66 says, from this time, many of Jesus' disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And that is the experience of every church and any church around our world today. People will come to know Jesus at the big event or at the moment of need, and they come to know Jesus and they're full of joy, and then when push comes to shove, when the going gets tough, when it comes to the crunch, people will start drifting off. And Jesus asks the question that I've slightly tweaked on the screen for you. He asks the question, do you want to leave too? And Peter, who isn't always very good with words, on this occasion, gives a very, very good answer. In fact, he answers the question with a question. Do you see that? Jesus says, you don't want to leave too, do you? And Peter answers him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Maybe that should be another one of our fridge magnet verses. You know, I often talk about fridge magnets. A verse that you put on your fridge so you see it first thing in the morning when you're making your coffee and you're getting the milk out for the kids' cereal or whatever. And you see that word, Lord, to whom shall we go? And then Peter comes out with this most amazing declaration of faith. You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. So I'll leave you, as we started, with a question. Do you want to leave too? Who will you go to if you leave Jesus? And what will you be leaving behind?